University of Cape Town constitutional law expert Professor Cathy Powell wrote a great piece on this in The Conversation today. She joins me now. Prof, good afternoon. Thank you very much for being with us. What is the rule of law? What does the rule of law actually refer to in our constitution?
It refers to a very long-standing concept that's been used by legal philosophers. It's got a certain specific content that all the legal philosophers have agreed on. We tend to, when we use it in colloquial usage in South Africa, we tend to mean the government must also obey the law. And sure, that's part of it, but it's not actually the whole thing. The rule of law consists of 8 specific requirements that enable the law to be predictable, to be clear, that enable human beings to work out what they have to do and to actually use the law to make choices about their lives. So law becomes an instrument for them, for their planning and for their progress.
Right.
I can read out these 8 requirements if you want.
Yes, but, let's get into that briefly, please, Prof, even if you just give us a quick overview of those 8, please.
No problem. Firstly, you need general rules, so the rules have to apply to everybody. Secondly, they've got to be published. They've got to be accessible to the public who have to obey them. Thirdly, they've got to be understandable or clear. They can't be retroactive. They can't contradict each other. They've got to be internally consistent. They've also got to be consistent over time, so they can't keep changing, or they can't change too often. Then compliance has got to be physically possible. So you can't have rules that make people, force people to do things that they actually can't do.
Right.
And then finally, and this is what we usually think of when we think of the rule of law, is that the government has got to actually apply the rules that it has published. So that's called congruence. That's sticking, that's the fact that the government is subject to the rules that it has published.
So you've made some really important statements there. I mean, one of them is about many citizens perhaps wanting to be committed to adhering to the rule of law, but not knowing exactly what it is in the context of this lockdown.
Exactly. You see, what Judge Fabricius points out is that he doesn't put it in his words, he talks about social compact and he says that yes, we have to abide by the rule of law. But he points out that in effect that if the rule of law is being complied with, then the people have an obligation to, a responsibility to abide by it, to abide by the law. Now, what the legal theorists have pointed out over time is if you've got the rule of law, people actually want to obey it. You don't have to force them. You don't have to send in police and army. Right. It makes sense to them. The rule of law, if you've got law that fulfills these 8 requirements, then people feel a sense of fidelity to the law. So it's not as if we need to have the rule of law and we need to have compliance. The one kind of leads to the other. If the content of the law is clear enough, if the officials are sticking to it, then people will naturally want to obey the law because it actually there's something in it for them.
Prof, you've made a good point about citizens being able to access this information. That's not really easily available to everyone, is it?
Oh, no, it's a disaster. I make the point in my article that even the experts are getting lost. We're getting so many new rules so quickly, they often contradict each other, that there are actually now 2 non-state bodies that are trying to keep a track on internet and let us know what the rules currently are. The state website doesn't work, so you can't use it to work out what the laws are. And then, of course, not everybody has access to the internet. So what I've read in some media reports is that a lot of people are finding out the regulations and rules through social media, which means they're also getting fed the wrong rules.
Right.
And I know in my own little neighborhood WhatsApp group that we've had people setting out these are the following things you're going to be arrested for and you're going to be fined for, and they're things that aren't crimes under the regulations.
Right.
And I've responded to say, hang on a moment, those aren't crimes. But you can't have a lawyer in every neighborhood WhatsApp group. So So what's happening is that the people don't know what rules they're meant to be obeying.
Hmm. What about those they'd very much want to obey but simply can't, Prof, as in the case of, say, social distancing, if you live in an informal settlement where it's simply impossible for you to internalise or practice those rules?
Well, the requirement of the rule of law that's being broken there is number 7, that the law cannot demand the impossible. And if it does, people lose fidelity to it. They're not going to take it seriously. It's as though the law is telling them to fly. So this is one of the ways that law, not just those specific rules that say you've got to keep 2 meters apart from one another when people are living squashed up in an informal settlement, not just that rule gets disregarded, the whole system loses legitimacy. So, sorry?
Yes, go ahead, Dr. Powell.
So what the government has to do is not just make sure it doesn't enforce the rules brutally or doesn't send people into... In fact, what the SANDF were doing in Khoza was they were beating a man up and he hadn't broken any of the rules. Beating him up for breaking the rules would have been just as bad. But the point is, it's not enough that you enforce the rules humanely. The rules have got to comply with the rule of law. They've got to make sense. And one of them is that it's absolutely impossible to have that kind of social distancing. And the lockdown regime must acknowledge that and somehow accommodate it.
Dr. Paul, I want to ask you one last question, and this comment appeared towards the end of your article, but really caught my attention. You made a comment about how the military was briefed before they went out into the country's streets to enforce the rule of law, to apprehend people, as the case may be. What was the inherent problem with the briefing they received, potentially?
Yes, you know, it's worth reading the Court of Judgment of Judge Fabricius to see. He's very good at giving the wider context and the problem with not just those specific SANDF soldiers who beat up one person, but the entire system of the police and the military, which is that they are being sent out with the instructions to fight the enemy, and the enemy is the actual people. So in the particular briefing that the soldiers were given that went into the Alexandria townships, they were told, look, there's in effect... There are some baddies out there who don't want to comply with the law and are giving us trouble. They need to be taught a lesson. And if that's what you're saying to the soldiers, of course they're going to beat somebody up. So I think what the Fabricius ruling shows us is that the problem goes up to the top, and it's got to be addressed at that level. I am horrified that there have been no resignations by either the Minister of Defence or Police, because they were both badly berated in this judgment. Yes. There have been no resignations, and there's been no call in Parliament or anywhere else to say, hang on a minute, this is wrong. So our problem is not just the police on the ground, it's the government thinking that the lockdown regime means they can do whatever they want. And that's the very opposite of the rule of law.
Dr. Cathy Powell, thank you for your excellent analysis into that. She is, of course, a UCT professor in public law.